B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seconds left. Hamilton fans on it, the neutral zone. Five out at center ice. Corrali couldn't get much on the wrister. Out at center ice it comes. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference final. They come into Carolina, win it 2-1 over the Hurricanes. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series. They've won 6 consecutive games in the playoffs for the first time since 1978. And for the first time all year, Carolina has dropped a playoff game on home ice.
All right, one step closer for the Boston Bruins. One step closer to the Stanley Cup Finals. With a win last night in Carolina in Game 3, they take a commanding 3-0 series lead.
Dougie Hamilton with the shot. So Hamilton.
That was a bit of a dogfight, though. That felt like they survived the game. And Tuukka Rask played his ass off last night to be able to get them out of that game, as opposed to sort of stepping on the throats of the Carolina Hurricanes. A little different than the first two games.
For everything you read about Carolina being at home, you know, being 5-0 in the playoffs, being undefeated, and sort of their building, that place, hey, we like to poke fun of it, right? We had some fun with the Carolina folk. People calling in, hey, it's going to be nice out. It'll be tailgating, all that stuff. 19,000, what, 20,000? Yeah, felt like 20,000.
I don't think the fans played even a little bit of a factor in that game.
But it's the energy. There's energy in that building. Yeah.
I think played a huge factor in that game. The Bruins had to kill the first they had to kill a penalty for the entire first period, it felt like.
Yeah, like, Jesus, refs.
It felt like they were on the kill that entire first period.
They were, four, right?
There were a lot of calls in that game last night. That sort of muddied things up a little bit. That sort of put a damper on the night. But I thought that it slowed things down, and I just felt like as the night went on, well, the Bruins had to survive the night, and the Hurricanes, I think half of their shots came on the power play night.
I'll say this.
Almost half.
That is more of a, and I don't know if you agree, or Hardy, you agree too.
Didn't I tell you before the series when you mocked me and didn't want to listen to me? It was one of those segments where you're like, blah, 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 sweep Bruins.
It is a sweep.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. And I said, I told you this last week, if you remember, I said the Hurricanes suck on the power play. They are terrible on the power play. And last night was the perfect example of that. They had all kinds of opportunities and couldn't cash in.
Bruins had fun on Sunday the way they won.
My favorite was the 5-on-3 that they couldn't cash in on.
Oh, the 5-on-3. Then
God.
Yeah.
Part of that was Tuukka being great and less the Hurricanes sucking.
No, I know that.
But some of it is, too, like Dougie Hamilton.
Just firing one off where his teammates are looking at him like, are we going to do anything with that?
He's like, way up.
Take a shot.
Right. It's like no traffic in front of the net. It's like, watch this. Kaboom! And Tuukka's like, yeah, I see it coming the whole way.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to block it with my chest.
Maybe skate back towards the blue line and fire one off. Boom!
Typical Dougie Hamilton. I mean, he should be getting some stuff today.
Right at Tuukka's chest.
But you come away as a team, and I'm sitting there watching the post-game stuff, and you see Marchand, he's got the hat on, he's fired up. He goes, yeah, we got one more, man. And Tuukka talking on ice with the NBC crew, and, you know, just how it seems like they're so focused, they got everything going, that you come away from a win like that, I got to think last night's win is more gratifying than Sunday's. Sunday's was fun. You were at home. You scored a ton of goals. But, man, when you survive the Hornets' nest and you go in there and, like, that thing gets to 2-1 and they're cranking, and it just seems like they were desperate. You beat the desperate team last night. When you beat the desperate team, you're able to cut their throat like that, and now all of a sudden it's 3-0. You think they were desperate last night? Wait till tomorrow night. But tomorrow night, they'll be squeezing that stick a little more.
No, last night was the one.
They needed that
one. If you're going to win a game, last night had to be the game.
That's, like, you come away from that AFC title game out in Kansas City, like, that felt better than the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? There are games that you play, and you go on the road, and you win in somebody's building.
I get that.
That one had to feel pretty good once that door shut and the media wasn't in there. Like,
if there was any doubt in the minds of any players, I'm not talking about in the locker room or amongst the team, you know, what they're saying, but if there's any doubt in a player's mind about what this team would be capable of in this postseason, I think that got answered last night. And you go up, and to your point, Beadle,
yeah,
that team, until they made it 2-1 and showed some life, this was the team where you're like, how did these guys do it?
Their one goal was a softie, too.
We asked the question yesterday, how did this team like get past the Capitals? How did this team sweep the Islanders? And last night, when the Bruins were up 2-0, you're thinking, what is this team? Who are these Hurricanes? Like, how did they make it this far? They showed you something when they closed and applied some pressure for sure. And it took Tuukka having another really good game, but I just don't see it. I didn't watch enough of the Islanders series or the Cap series to know if, you know, who's fallen off and who's not playing well. But good grief,
I thought
this does not look like an Eastern Conference Finals team.
No, and I thought they were obviously the softer team in the first two games. I thought last night they tried to exert themselves a little bit and tried to bring physicality.
This is not the payback.
They tried to push you around.
This is the payback for the upsets in the early rounds.
Yeah.
For the league.
Yeah.
Big picture. The league is getting paid back for the good, you know, satisfying upsets early. And this is what you get paid back with: garbage in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But I got no problem with them trying to get like physical and assert themselves.
Yeah, do something.
Just don't have it be your captain going after Torey Krug. What are you doing?
What a dick move that was with the no. And, you know,
three penalties he took in the first period.
All with Krug.
Did you hear Monty on postgame?
What's with that?
Look, Krug's great.
Like, he's all the guys.
Look, he had three assists in the game before. And maybe there was something there that said, you know, we're going to backdoor this some bitch. We ain't going after Jake DeBrusk or Pastrnak.
Has Krug been known to be an agitator? I don't know. I mean, that's a new role for him.
We're gonna take them on the flank. You know, we're gonna take out their perimeter guys first, and I don't know. I honestly don't know what they were thinking.
Man, the punch in the back of the head. And I'm listening to Monte in the post game, and he told Felker, that's nothing, Mike. That's gamesmanship. That's what you got to do there. Like, he's trying to take out your goal. He wasn't trying to take out your goal. He got mixed up. Guy's going down, and then he got him, and he's punching him right in the back.
Okay, but
of the
after
head.
He said in game two, when he said, "I've got to be smarter," I think is what he said about his penalties in game two. How do you come back in game three out of the gate and have three penalties in the first period?
Three.
What a schmuck. What are you doing?
And he's shaking it off like the last one, especially like, oh, man, that's so lame. You lifted your stick to a shorter player, you lifted your stick to hit him up high. Yes, maybe if you had kept your stick on the ice, you could have gotten away with that one. And maybe Krug sold it a little bit. But you raise your arms up over your own head to go after a guy on the boards. I think it was Doc last night or somebody on the broadcast said, that's an easy call to make.
But
that's the easy one for the refs.
This gets lost in this. The Bruins had more penalties in that first period than the Hurricanes. The Bruins had six penalties in that first period.
Yeah.
And that's why it felt like they were on the kill for the entire first period. It felt like they're out there killing penalties.
You're
treading
water first period right away.
Oh my God.
And you're in survival mode. Like, help. Somebody throw me a life raft.
Well, less than a minute into the game, Carlo got called right out of the gate.
Right. And if they had scored on a couple of those and the Bruins were down 3-0 in the first, we'd be singing a very different tune today, saying like, how dumb to go out there and take those penalties in a game where all you do is win this thing and the series is essentially done. And instead, you go out and commit all those penalties in the first period. But maybe they had a notion that that penalty kill would be able to handle it. I know they didn't want to go down. They didn't want to take a 5-on-3 for any amount of time like they had to last night and kill that thing off. And it couldn't have been any fun, but they're playing with a confidence right now that allowed them to go out there and play loose to the point where they committed all those penalties, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Not against this team.
Tuukka is in such a zone, and even like I go to the post game, and he's just standing there sweating, talking. Yeah, okay, we get ready for the next game. We win one more, and then he's got his suit on. He's up there with McAvoy. McAvoy doesn't say a word. Hey, thanks for coming, Chuck. Tuukka just is owning the moment, every single moment, off the ice, and just nobody touch him. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
You got a pitcher, it's pitching a no hitter. Let him sit there in the dugout. Nobody talk to him. Stay down there. Let the goalie just sit over there. Let him deal with himself because he is in a freaking zone right now. And it is a good thing. So, Hey, Charlie. That, it wasn't, Chuck, it, yeah. Chuck, thanks for
wasn't
coming.
Wasn't all that long ago we were talking about, like,
My mic's still on.
Who do you go with in this series? How long a leash do you give Tuukka? How long before... What's the other guy's name?
No, that was what he was most excited for heading into the playoffs, was that they had Halak on the roster.
Who's the backup?
They had Halak.
I know. It's had two good goalies.
No, I was with Zoe. I thought it was an interesting thing to watch for.
Storyline.
I was trained to think that way by this head coach, Bruce Cassidy. Because anytime there would be an issue, it wouldn't be like their coach, we never pull our goalie. We haven't pulled our goalie all year. Tell you what, he struggles, we're yanking him. You got struggles with Pasternak, we're moving his ass around. He will not hesitate to make moves. Cassidy's proven that all year. And last year before that. So, like, why shouldn't I think that, okay, you know what, if there's a blip with the goalie, they got one in a lock that they could go to, and they're both really good this year. Why wouldn't I think that? Jeez. I tell you what, I heard somebody call Felger Maz yesterday, and he said, yeah, if they get up 3-0, what do you do in the fourth game? You rest Tuukka, and you get him ready for the Stanley Cup final. No, you just keep playing him. You rest Tuukka. Puck.
10 days of rest, not enough?
Yeah, I was going to say, they win game four. How much rest are they going to get?
Yeah, Felger went nuts.
Wagner with the first goal last night. Marchand with the second goal. Wagner goes down late, blocking a shot, got hit on the wrist, was in a sling after the game. Good. Didn't look good. Bruce Cassidy didn't have an immediate update, but said it didn't look good after the game. Looks like it could be Nola Chari that gets the call. If he's unable to go going forward, that did not look good, man. He got blasted
right above the edge of the glove where the padding stops.
And then he had to sit on the bench because the only way to get to the locker room is to cross the ice at PNC Arena.
What a joke.
What was the door?
Sit on the bench for like 3 minutes before he could get across the ice in a stoppage of play.
Is that when he went through that door, right?
What minor league crap that is down there.
Well, you got to get all
those. You know how I know your team is minor league, Carolina?
Because you got to skate across the ice.
You don't have a hallway to the locker room from the bench. That's how I know you're a minor league system down there. Oh, my. So we got a lot to get to from that game. Your reaction. Of course, we're going to talk more about Justin Williams, including that punch to the back of the head from David Backes. I know that has a lot of Bruins fans upset, and I don't think you have much ground to stand on. Because I didn't hear very many of you get upset about Brad Marchand doing the exact same thing going back a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It was hard to find anybody getting upset about Brad Marchand a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what ground you have to stand on today if you're upset with Justin Williams doing that exact same thing last night to David Backes. We'll talk about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins jump on it. Brandon Carlo elevates the puck. Two penalties called in back of the play. Torrey Crew and Justin Williams. 2 minutes each for Ruffin. He'll wrist it along. A penalty is called. It's a holding call, and it's Justin Williams getting involved with Torrey Crew. This time, the only guy to go is the Kane captain.
Wow, his second penalty of the game. He had two in game two. The three-time Stanley Cup winning captain. He can't buy a break with the officials to save his life.
Both defense on Coyle and a penalty. Justin Williams again, a high stick on Torrey Crew. And the Hurricanes captain has taken three penalties in the first period.
Oh, my gosh.
That is remarkable that a team's captain can be that stupid and be that easily, I don't know, caught up in the game emotionally.
At what point did you get his mind in this series?
To be that charged up and take.
Can you imagine the calls we'd be taking on Chara? If he did that,
three penalties in the first period. What a bozo this guy is. How is he your captain? You have no one who's a better leader than this guy.
Did he not sleep
in that room?
Did he
That's
not
it?
Sleep since Sunday?
That's
Seriously.
The best guy you have. That's the best you can offer.
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you gonna do, Dougie?
That's terrible.
Ow.
That's awful. There's no one else in there that could emotionally be a better leader than him. Oh, man.
Jason Mraz, I don't know.
I don't have an issue with his penalties, though, because I don't think anything about them were dirty, per se. Like, go ahead. Keep doing it.
You could think one, though.
Go ahead.
You could say just one, though.
Like, committing penalties and keep going to the box. I don't care. That doesn't bother me.
Place is buzzing. We need a spark.
Idiot.
I'm going to take something in my own hands. I'm going to do it once. But to do it as many times as you did, like, say, okay, you got his head down. You got his mind.
What do you think of him punching David Backus in the back of the head?
I think it was a BS no call. I go to Amani in a postgame saying it's gamesmanship. I don't understand how that's gamesmanship. Backus was not trying to truck your goalie. Backus was going down and actually headed for that post on that side, trying to avoid that. And you see him, and then you hold him, and then you lift it. And I know we're going to get towards Marchand here in comparisons and that, but that is a blatant hit to the back of the head. Should have been something.
I never like it. I can tell you that. I think it's gutless.
That's gamesmanship?
I think it's totally gutless when guys punch other guys in the back of the head. I think it's always gutless. I think it's cheap. I think it's cowardly. I hate it. I hate that. In any walk of life, punching someone in the back of the head, never a fan of it in anything.
His explanation.
In any sport.
You are anti-punch to the back of the head
and
guy.
Yes, whether it's in sports or otherwise.
It's interesting.
Punching someone in the back of the head is never okay.
So you don't like those knockout
videos. I think that's out of bounds. It's out of bounds. Yep.
I don't think you're going to find a lot of people disagree with
you. You're a coward. You're punching someone in the back of the head. And I'm going to tell you something else. Brad Marchand's was far worse. It was a far worse punch than the one that happened in last night's game.
It's about the same.
And they both suck. Both of them suck. I hate both of them. I hate both hits.
Williams is more of like a punch kind of shoved the face into the ice, not like a hard punch, more of like a soft punch to his face in the ice.
They're not even close to being the same.
He held his head down with his left hand. He's like, lick the dog poo.
The distance that the fist travels to hit Backus in the back of the head is about 6 or 8 inches. Okay? And he's on top of him. The distance that the fist travels to the unsuspecting back of the head of Harrington, and when Brad Marchand punches him when he's just resting away from the scrum on his knees, is like 2 feet. It's a lot more force that Brad Marchand hit Harrington with 2 weeks ago. But I didn't hear the outrage here. In fact, when I called him a coward 2 weeks ago for pulling that crap, I was the one getting crap here. I didn't hear any Bruins fans getting upset about that. So I don't really know if there's too many Bruins fans that have any ground to stand on to be upset about David Backus getting hit in the back of the head last night by Williams. I don't know that very many of you have ground to stand on. I don't. Because I didn't hear that outrage. In fact, the only outrage we got on this show was the outrage that I dare call out Big Bad Brad.
No. But if that was Marchand getting hit, I could see you taking that stand and not want to hear from people if that's Marchand getting hit, because that guy dishes it out. Now, all of a sudden, he's getting it to him. And it's Backus. Backus doesn't play the game that way. Yeah? The fact it's Backus, I think people are going to have a problem with it.
I think both of them are dirtbag moves.
Of course. I totally agree with you on Marchand. Dirtbag move.
And I also don't think
it's eye for an
eye. By the way, that also doesn't mean I think either one of them is worthy of a suspension.
No, but give me a penalty. Give me something.
Mention it on the broadcast. That's the problem. I had a problem. They didn't even mention it on the broadcast. I don't remember mentioning it at all when it happened.
Let's just make that clear.
That's all they talked about.
No, on the postgame they did, but on the broadcast as it happened, if that was Marchand,
well,
that would have been talked.
That?
I think maybe it was partially Justin Williams.
Hold on.
I don't know.
They didn't mention it on the NBC broadcast when Marchand did it.
But that wasn't as clear.
They mentioned it on the Canadian broadcast.
This was clear.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he held him down.
They didn't mention it on the NBC broadcast when Marchand did it. They didn't mention it on the NBC broadcast when it happened last night. Maybe they mentioned it in Canada. Go check your Canadian broadcast. See if they mentioned it up there.
I don't care
what
they say in Canada.
Oh, Mr. America now. Yes, sir.
I don't care about Canada.
Right.
Hey, speaking of Canada, Don Cherry, Hockey Night in Canada, he's on in Canada. He had this to say in between periods last night about the Bruins getting under the skin of Williams.
But ladies and gentlemen, I am for the Bruins 100%. I am 100% that they were going to win.
I also just love that he openly roots for the Bruins, by the way. He just roots for the Bruins. He just puts it right out there.
Gives you so much credibility when you sit there.
But I love that. I mean, he obviously is rooting for the Bruins, right?
He
openly tells you that he loves Boston. He loves the people of Boston. He obviously has a strong connection here. And he just openly tells you, oh, I'm just letting you know, I root for the Bruins in this. I'm rooting for Boston.
They should have him at Espo.
Partially to troll
show.
The Canadian fans, I'm imagining.
I don't think so. I think he's genuine. I think he obviously has a deep right. history here.
No, I think he is rooting for them, but he's openly doing it to troll the Canadian fans.
It's already been established. Right. Beetle, you're both
Why?
Right.
Why? Like Montreal Canadian fans? Who else in Canada hate? Like, what do you mean by that?
Talks to people. People are like, "Yeah, keep rolling on, keep rolling on."
There are a lot of Bruins fans in Canada too. Don't forget that there are people in Canada that root for the Bruins.
But mostly, the Canadian hockey fans are watching that series on the Canadian broadcast.
He's taking a shot. He's taking a shot a little bit.
You mean Montreal Canadian fans, not Canadian citizens?
I mean, like the Canadian, like the Maple Leafs fans, all the fans of that of Canada.
You teams
that are watching the broadcast.
You teams right now that are watching other people play hockey that have nobody in the Cup Finals.
I don't think
or
he's
the
trolling.
Playoffs anymore.
I don't think he's trolling at all. But anyway, let's go. Let's hear it.
But ladies and gentlemen, I am for the Bruins 100%. I am 100% that they were going to win this series. But you never, ever, ever upset a guy like Williams. Now watch this here. As you saw it last week, you've seen it 100 times. He was fast asleep. Williams was fast asleep. Watch him this. Yeah, never. Why? You're losing 6-0. And not a guy stepped up.
3-0 at that point.
Well, doesn't it ended up. And there he is before the game. He is pumped. I've watched him for 18 years. I've never seen him like this here. He's got that team pumped up right now. That's why they got 20 shots to 6 like that. It's because of him. He's the captain. Think about if you ever did that there to Stevie Yzerman. There'd be a riot or Gretzky or like that. He is ready. I'm telling you, boy, he in that dressing room, he's got them wired. You can't believe. I still say the Bruins going to win, but it's going to be a lot harder because you do a stupid thing to a guy like Williams. All right.
Now, there are some who might say that's inauspicious, that you're running around like that.
But first of all, I don't know what auspicious means.
But you know what I mean. They would think he's off
Ladies
his game or lost his focus. Crazy.
You listen to me. Right. You have a guy like that pumped up. He's 18 years in the league. He knows what's going on. He's won the cup. These guys have won the cup. He goes in. He got them pumped up. He'll settle down in the second one. And I'm telling you right now, that team is pumped. They don't believe in tradition. They wear black at home. They let their captain get pushed around the whole deal. But he's got them pumped, and it's going to be a lot tougher than I thought it would be to beat these guys out.
So this is after he took the 3 penalties in the first period. He sees that, and he goes, oh, now you've got them all riled up. Now it's going to be tough to beat the Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. He interpreted Williams coming out and acting like a madman and getting him riled up as the reason the Bruins were going to have a hard night. I'm like,
poop sandwich.
This isn't your traditional team. The captain gets 3 penalties. They let them push the captain around. They don't wear white at home.
Oh, awful uniform, by the way. All black at home. That's just awful.
That uniform is gross, isn't it?
Oh, I hate that. Hate that from a play-by, and I always judge uniforms, as you know, from a play-by-play perspective.
So that Hurricane
Easy
flag,
numbers
the first thing
no.
I thought of was you trying to figure out what color the Hurricane flag was last night.
What the hell is this? It's like a solid flag.
What's your gripe that the uniforms are black?
Just it all runs together. Yeah, it's just awful. Awful. Like, everything's all black. Give me some stripes on the side. Give me something thick. Give me something to break up the waist.
Like, well, you know,
give me something on Bruins sleeves. How about the shoulders? Bruins have black shoulders, but they have gold shoulders.
Oh, they got the yellow up top.
Right. You got the big spoke B on the front. You got the stripes down the side of the pants. Bruins have nice uniforms. Bruins and Penguins, I think, best uniforms, along with Montreal in the league. I like Montreal's uniforms, as I do the Rangers.
Oh, yeah, they're a classic-looking uniform, too.
Yes. Yes. Rangers, too. Ooh, pretty. Pretty.
Anyway, any other uniforms you'd like to tell us about?
Toronto's,
Blackhawks? Do you
Toronto's
like Toronto?
Stinking. I love the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Flyers?
Not a big Flyers fan.
Oh, not a Flyers
not
fan?
The Orange.
Red Wings?
Thing.
Do you like the Red Wings?
I do.
I'm going with all the old teams. You know,
wow.
Notice a trend here?
Oh, tradition.
I'm naming
yeah.
all the older teams that have kept their older uniforms.
Yeah.
See what I did?
And
did
the Penguins.
There?
I love the Penguins.
The Penguins have changed.
Well, it reminds me of Bruins. Yeah, they
no, it's
have
all the
too.
Older teams and Zoe's local team when he was
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, yeah, and
Zoe's
Pittsburgh.
Local team? I'm not
all the
even
older
a
teams
fan
and Pittsburgh.
Was never a
all
fan
the old
of
teams
the
in Pittsburgh.
What the hell am I ever a fan of the Penguins? Penguin hockey. Stupid. Ooh, it's all white. It's an igloo. It's, so, ooh, it's cold in here. All white out.
617-779-0985. So we've got hockey on the table. Bruins game from last night also happened last night. Was the NBA draft lottery, which was quite the scene. And guess what, so?
I thought you said they were going to get porked.
They didn't. They didn't get hosed. The Celtics actually had an okay night.
That's not bad, 14.
It's not bad.
Not in the mix. Not
bad. You know what they did? As we said yesterday, picking them to have the 14th pick was the mature thing to root for.
Yes.
And it happened. And it happened. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It's okay.
You didn't get porked.
Yeah, we'll mix that into the conversation after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Pick number 14 will be made by the Boston Celtics.
All right. This was originally Sacramento's pick, but it goes to Boston. If the pick had been number one overall, would have been to Philadelphia, but Celtics, you've got it.
The ninth pick goes to the Washington Wizards.
Wow. All right. This means the Grizzlies moved up. We have a double jump, Woj.
And this was the flattening of the lottery odds. We are going to see more action like this.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Celtics did okay last night. They did okay.
You Knicks.
They got the 14th pick from Sacramento.
Right. They didn't want the top 10.
They didn't get the Memphis pick. They kick it down the road again.
You don't get dropped back
all
to 24.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very good.
You kind of right there in the middle.
Good.
No pressure.
Fine. Excellent. That's the mature choice last night. 20 and 22 we knew about. Whew. Right?
Yeah.
That was determined going into the night. And so, all right. No big deal. 14 it is. Thank you very much. We move on. Memphis pick remains intact. Very good. Mm-hmm. And then the Pelicans get number one. That throws a wrench into some things. That certainly makes things interesting last night. I love that the Knicks did not get the number one pick. They are ready to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge down there. Right. Oh, my God.
Right. But it also says, okay, we didn't get Zion. We need freaking KD and we need Kyrie. Like, what's plan B? You got to have a plan B. I mean, they're losing their mind. I love making fun of New York. Like, they thought they had it. And to see all these videos, you know, on social media, people losing it, throwing their TVs, kicking them again. Yeah, it's like Jet fans. Yeah, you get screwed. You got porked.
They didn't get hosed. The Celtics didn't get hosed. I think that right there is a win.
Yeah.
That's a win, that they didn't get hosed last night. They didn't have worst-case scenarios happen. They didn't get stuck with the Memphis pick.
What was the other one? Dropping back to 24 with Philly, right?
They hang on to the Memphis pick. Philly didn't get the number one overall pick. That didn't happen to them. So they're in good shape. They're doing okay. And the interesting part of the night was watching the Pelicans get the number one pick and watching the Knicks fan base melt down and watching Stephen A. Smith melt down.
See, I think this, in a weird way, can potentially hurt you two ways. Because now, all of a sudden, if you're New Orleans, okay, we got Zion. Maybe we don't want to trade Anthony Davis. We want to keep this big man combo down low together. Which, now, all of a sudden, okay, there's the Knicks. Do you really think that, okay, if Anthony Davis isn't going to Boston, you know, we have a better chance to get Kyrie to come here with Durant.
So the interesting thing to me is that according to a report last night, after this all went down, is that the opinion of Anthony Davis has not changed one bit.
From his camp, yes.
Has not changed at all. And this came out after the lottery went down. Shams came out with a report. The New Orleans Pelicans are now set up to be Zion Williamson's franchise to lift. And the number one pick could ease potential trade of Anthony Davis. His stance on a trade has not changed. League sources tell The Athletic. Oh, and then he tags Stadium, too. That's difficult. Who are they telling? Are they telling Athletic or the Stadium? He works for both. Who are they telling? They're telling shams. That's who they're telling. So he has it that his stance hasn't changed at all. He is still out. He does not want to be in New Orleans. He wants to be traded. He does not want to be there for the start of the Zion Williamson era in New Orleans. They are jacked, by the way, to be getting this number one pick.
Ticket sales.
Oh, it's great. There's a video making the rounds of the people that work for their ticket office.
Like
sitting in a conference room. Here it is.
See, that doesn't sound like
we'll be able to sell some tickets now. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, yeah. Well, you couldn't really sell very many tickets with Anthony Davis. What makes you think you're going to be able to sell them with Zion?
Well, I mean, remember when we thought the Celtics were going to get one of those high picks and they had the NBC Sports, you know, whole crew in there? And
yes.
That did sound like Kyle Draper, no? That sounds like a lot different. But Drape says, it's all right. It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
Someone said last night they've never had a video reaction like that of a front office or like, you know, employees reacting like that to a draft. I was thinking back, I'm like, no, it's always a fan shot.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, normally you remain a little professional. You don't want to, you know, somehow indicate that things are so bad where you are that you really need and want that number one overall pick.
Says it all. Right,
not New Orleans. Like, yes! Thank God! Woohoo!
Yes!
What, do we have 10 more years of gloom and doom or, wow, we actually have a player in this league.
Yeah.
So overall, it didn't go down the way you predicted, Beetle.
It didn't. So thankful. Hashtag blessed.
It's still a small percentage for New Orleans to get that. What were they, a 6% chance?
Yes.
To land the number one
low
pick?
Low percentage for them to get that.
No, but the Celtics did get the number one pick when they drafted Tatum. And CSN did a special, and they went nuts just like that on live television.
Not employees, though.
That was Scallon.
Would you hammered. Consider Scallon an employee?
No.
No.
He was hammered at that point.
Here we go. Right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. We're going back right now. We'll let you know. Sherrod has all the details.
Right. Let's go.
Let's go.
We got faults.
Yeah, no, that they're not employees. I mean, they're sort of employees. They're like 15% employees or something. You know, whatever the stake is. I mean, you can tell by their reaction, though. They're like partial employees. Partial.
But they had fun.
They're pumped
huh?
to get faults.
Yeah. I think the on-set guys were more having more fun than the fans.
It was all fans and it was media. It wasn't actually inside the offices of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that's different. That's
yeah, it's
totally
not the
different.
Same. This was inside. Alvin Gentry apparently got up and spread his arms and was like, "Are you not entertained?"
Yeah,
he swore.
And then he had to.
I think
and
he swore.
Then he had to apologize. He was like, "Sorry."
Because you have to spend the next 2 hours in the same room with the people sequestered that couldn't leave the room.
What did he say? He swore. Did he say, "Yeah, mother bleeper"?
He had to apologize. Hold on, let me read the report for you. It's great. I can't imagine what the scene was when that happened. I'll read it to you. Someone had that detail. Kevin O'Connor reported, Alvin Gentry yelled, bleep yeah, F yeah, when the Pelicans won the number one pick during the lottery drawing. Then he stood up, stuck his arms out like, are you not entertained? Then he said, sorry. And sat back down. Bleep yeah, are you not entertained? Sorry.
New Orleans.
Congratulations to New Orleans for winning the first pick in the 2019 NBA lottery.
Sorry.
Can you go back to the beginning of that? Why is John Henry down there introducing New Orleans?
He gets up and he starts high-fiving all the people sitting at the other table.
Yes.
Replay the beginning of that. Sorry. Sean Henry, New Orleans.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. A little excited.
New Orleans.
Congratulations.
Henry. Mubby.
Congratulations to New Orleans for winning the first pick in the 2019.
Yeah.
So, not a bad night. Celtics didn't get hosed on lottery night. They got the 14th pick. They have the 20th pick and they have the 22nd pick. But most importantly, in my opinion, they get to kick that Memphis pick down the road. It's still an asset. It's still something they have in their back pocket. And the Knicks didn't get the first overall pick, so that helps. I think in the grand scheme, It actually helps their cause. And also some follow-up thoughts on the Celtics as it relates to Anthony Davis and Terry Rozier a day later after the ESPN car wash. There have been some defenders of Terry Rozier. I was exposed to some of that last night, actually.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Oh. I didn't know there would be anybody defending him, but there are some people defending him for his comments yesterday. 617-779-0985. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody. Could you see yourself living here in New York City and playing for the New York Knicks?
Yeah, I definitely can. You know, this is a great organization. You know, everybody know about the New York Knicks. Their sports market and everything about it. Everybody know about the city of New York. You know, it'd be great. It'd be great.
So, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to be looking to add you to the roster, and including the Celtics looking to keep you. What do you look for when evaluating these potential opportunities?
Like I mentioned, just looking for a team that's going to let me be myself, a team that treats me like family, and, you know, we just go from there. I'm not a hard person to work with. You know, I'm a team guy, team first type of guy, and, you know, so whoever I decide to make that decision with, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be great.
It's Terry Rozier on Jalen and Jacoby yesterday, claiming to be a team first guy. He's actually the polar opposite.
Delusional
of a team
moron.
First guy. He's actually a me first guy.
Do people understand?
He's a Terry Rozier first guy. He's not a team first guy. He's complaining about his minutes and his time and his touches. That's the opposite of being a team first guy.
I just want to be loved. Someone explain
to him what a team first guy is. Doing what's in the best interest of the team. He doesn't understand what that is.
He's
a team first guy.
Not a good day and not a good week for him, really. And again, you're still doing this circuit where you're putting it out there and you're eliminating people from potentially wanting you to come play for them. When you're a free agent, you want everybody in on the mix. I had a good time, boss.
Two of those statements are in direct opposition to each other.
He prefaced it with it, right? He's a moron.
When he says, I want to be with a team who's going to let me be who I am.
No,
let me be me.
It's not a team.
I'm a team first guy. Nope.
Wrong.
Those things are in direct opposition.
Thank you.
It has nothing to do with you and you being you. And I got to be me. Nope. If that's who you are, okay. There are some guys who are good enough to go through their entire careers being that guy, and teams will cater to them. You're not that guy. And also, that guy is not a team first guy. It's two different things.
Reading the Globe today, Chad Finn had a story on the Celtics and just some various thoughts. It's some things are clear in the aftermath of Celtics collapse. Want to get to a couple things. I had some thoughts pop up as I read this today. And Terry Rozier, he wrote, "This poor man's Robert Pack is making the media rounds." I thought that was harsh. I thought that was really harsh. Robert
Great
Pack
reference.
Was a like a journeyman. He played for a million different teams. I thought that was a little over the top.
Well, I think Chad's one of those guys that's a Celtic guy and has defended these guys and liked them in their
but
roles
only
here.
Chad Finn.
And now you're going
to... Oh, by the way,
hold on.
This is my contractual sucking up to Chad Finn so we get good stories written about us, by the way.
Well, because just in case he gets the wrong
ratings.
I've heard that you do that.
Well, EEI always accused us of having that marketing agreement, so I'm just letting you know, yes, it's true. Number one, yes, of course it's true. And number two, this is my contractual sucking up to Chad Finn. Okay, so put it on the record. Of course only Chad Finn would have a Robert Pack reference to go back to, you know, obscure NBA references.
Just compare him to Robert Pack. Don't say he's a poor man's Robert Pack. That means he's worse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's no way he's worse than Robert Pack.
He's taking a shot. Chad's taking a shot now.
This poor man's Robert Pack is making the media rounds. He was on ESPN's First Take Tuesday morning in offering his input on what went wrong with the Celtics.
But see, real quick, I mean, Chad's a big Celtic fan. If you're a true diehard Celtic fan, if you're a green teamer, this stuff that Rozier's saying is pissing you off.
He says
that's why he's taking a shot at
his general take. Terry Rozier, in Terry Rozier's opinion, did not play enough or get the basketball enough. It's so absurd, and he seems to have no idea how he comes across. He's the living, breathing embodiment of another major issue with this team this year. The players who felt they were getting shortchanged on minutes or touches would at least feign playing unselfishly right up until the Celtics had a big lead, when three or four players, or five or six on the roster, would immediately go into the "I'll get mine now" mode. The rim would add a few new dents, and the lead would shrivel. I understand why Danny Ainge kept this talented collection of players together at the trading deadline, but now that we know the ending, it's clear Rozier should have been traded, even with the risk that they'd be left short at point guard if Irving got hurt again. I said this yesterday. They should have traded this guy last offseason. They should have traded him last offseason, or they should have traded him in season. They should have traded him. They should have got rid of him. They didn't. Whatever. It's okay. Not the end of the world.
No.
Backup point guard. You can move on from him now.
It's like the Red Sox with Jackie Bradley. Should have traded it when he had a chance. When it's
this high. This part about the players at the bottom of the roster got selfish, that Chad writes about, is so true. That when there was a lead and these guys would get onto the floor, there was an attitude of, oh, I'll get mine now. I'll get mine now. This is my opportunity to get my shots and get my touches and get my points in right now, right?
So bad.
This idea that, oh, when Kyrie's on the court, it's all about him and it's selfish basketball. Mm-mm. How about when these guys, the reserves, are on the floor and there's a Celtics lead that had been built? How about the selfish basketball that had been played then? And for all the talk of the team basketball, like we've been talking about the last couple of days, mm-hmm. And all the team basketball that was played a year ago that people have defended so strongly in recent days, where is your criticism of these younger players and the selfish basketball that they had played at points this year? You're being a bunch of hypocrites. You are.
Why can't both be true, though?
They are both true. But that also means you should be criticizing the younger players for being selfish. And you haven't been.
Right.
That's all. You can't, like, yearn for yesterday and talk about how unselfish and how team-oriented the young guys are when that was not the case this year. You can't do that. You can't say that all of a sudden, by keeping the young guys around, they're unselfish players again. Like, they have to adapt. Well, they're going to have to learn.
They might be, though, because then Kyrie's minutes are gone and the ball's spread around a little bit more, and they're all playing in normal basket. They're not just playing with those leads and blowout situations in the fourth quarter.
He also gave you a little insight that.
But you also have to learn to play nice with others at some point. That's called just growing as a player.
Understanding who the stars are and what the treatment's going to be for some of them. Hell yeah, if I got Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and Kyrie Irving on my team and I'm paying them $30 million. Guess what? It's being built around them. You need to find your role and make it fit. And for whatever reason, and maybe Brad Stevens is to blame a little bit for this, and maybe the culture that they created there, that here you are, Terry Rozier, still talking about Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals last year. The references to last year ended. Who didn't turn that page? The best thing about the Patriots and what they do, they turn the page.
Quickly, one other thing that was written about in this story, which was about Anthony Davis, and if Anthony Davis were to be traded to the Boston Celtics, that if he were to be here, it opens up a different avenue of potential frustration, Chad Finn writes, for him, since he'd be the second build star again here in Boston. Let's play this out, okay? Long shot, as we know. Anthony Davis to the Celtics, along with Kyrie Irving staying here with the Celtics. Is Kyrie Irving the second build star with the Boston Celtics?
Yes.
Okay, he might be the second best player on the Boston Celtics.
It's 1-1A.
I would disagree that he's the second star on the Celtics, though, and I'll tell you why. I think he's the far more dominant personality of the two.
You're gonna learn nothing about Anthony Davis, like, off the court. Like, Kyrie gives you something. You're right. He is polarizing. Kyrie's polarizing.
Where's my Uncle Drew statue? Give me my Uncle Drew statue. Here.
Statue.
It's a bobblehead.
Give me my Uncle Drew's statue.
Statue.
Yeah, statue.
Statue's heads don't move.
Kyrie's a movie star.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyrie's got movies.
He's a thinker.
Kyrie likes to talk.
Thinker.
Kyrie, love him or hate him,
you're right on this.
Kyrie's got a far more dominant, outgoing personality than Anthony Davis ever has had. So just a little food for thought. If you put both of those guys on the same team, yes, Anthony Davis, I think, is the, you know, higher ceiling, bigger potential type of player.
You almost want to build around
right?
that guy. Yeah.
You want to build around that
yeah.
type of player?
Yeah.
Great. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
But in terms of the star status, Kyrie Irving's a bigger star. Because he, okay, in terms of like quality of player, they're pretty damn close. But Kyrie Irving's a much more recognizable figure. He's going to sell you more jerseys. He's going to be on TV more. He's the guy okay. you want to put in the commercial more. He's the guy that you want to design the sneakers with. He's all of those things over Anthony Davis.
As soon as Davis gets on a winning team, that switches.
Okay, wait. Can you say?
Maybe, Jim. I don't know. Anthony Davis personality.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.